I want to speak today on the most important thing in the Christian life. There's a phrase called majoring on minors. You probably heard it. What it means is that among a lot of things that we have to do in life, some very important, some not so important, if we spend a lot of time doing the things that are not so important, we won't have time to do the things that are really important. I mean, that applies in all areas of life, whether in our home or in our work. And a lot of people major on minors. And that's very true in the Christian life too. You know, when you look at all the Christian denominations, there are so many of them, and many of them have got something they major on. And if that thing you major on, they major on, is not what the Bible majors on, and they are majoring on minors. And that can happen to us too. So it's very important to find, to see from Scripture, not from our own understanding. When we come to the Word of God, we must recognize that our human understanding that we've got from Adam is corrupted by sin. It's worldly in its thinking, because those are the values we have acquired from childhood. And we have to change our way of thinking if we want to understand what the Bible majors on. Have you ever wondered why there are some Christians you've met in your life who never seem to lose their passion for Jesus Christ and to serve Him ever? Every time you meet them, they are, as it were, on fire for God. I'm always delighted to meet such Christians. Have you ever wondered why there are some sins that even after 20 years you never seem to get rid of? There's a reason for both these things. It's because you're majoring on minors. And that man whom you see who has a growing passion for Christ and to serve Him has learned to major on majors. And that man who's got victory over sin in areas where you're continuously defeated, the difference is you're majoring on minors and he's majoring on majors. So it's very simple. It's just like in the rest of, you know, in the world. Why is it two students of equal intelligence go to school and one tops his class and the other does pretty badly? And one goes on to do well professionally and the other is mediocre. Both are of equal intelligence. It's because one majored on majors and the other chap with equal intelligence majored on minors. So, what is the most important thing in the Christian life? Only God can tell us that. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. Romans 8, verse 29. Here is a word called predestined. Predestined. Predestination means, you know that pre means before. Destination, you mean, you know, when you get into a train and you want to go to Delhi, that's your destination. And when you get your ticket, you have determined beforehand, you have predestined where you're going to land. Delhi. God also, it says in the Word of God, before we were born, before Adam was created, before the worlds were created, God, who knew the future, knew each one of us by name. He knew where we would live. He knew what century we would be born in, which year we would be born in. Jesus says, He even knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows every detail concerning us. And knowing everything, He predestined something. He determined a destination for you. He got a ticket for you on this train of life to reach a particular destination. And I want to tell you, that destination is not heaven. A lot of people think it is. It's not. It says here, He predestined us, verse 29, to become like Jesus Christ, to be conformed to the image of His Son, so that Jesus Christ in heaven might be the firstborn among many brothers who look just like Him. You know, heaven, God was so delighted with His Son that He wanted to populate heaven with a whole lot of people who look just like Jesus. That was His goal. He said, I want heaven to be full of people who are like my Son. And He chose different ones in different centuries from different countries. You there, and you, and you, and you, and you. You're chosen to be like Jesus, to populate heaven. That's your calling, brothers and sisters. Now, if you get sidetracked from that onto something good, but which is not God's destination, you can miss the goal. And the sad part of it is, this train runs only once. If you missed it in this life, you've missed it forever. And all you can do is spend the ages of eternity regretting, even if you're in heaven, that you did not live on earth for the things that God chose you to live for. It's not enough to go to heaven. I'll tell you honestly, I'm not interested in just going to heaven. I want to accomplish what God created me for before I leave this earth. Many times I have prayed to the Lord and said, Lord, as much as it is possible for a human being, a child of Adam, who is born again, to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ on this earth, I want to do that. As much as it is humanly possible by the power of the Holy Spirit, I want to do that. And I'm willing to pay any price. I want to go as far as I can in being conformed to the likeness of Christ in my character, my speech, in my actions, in my attitudes to people, in the thoughts I think when I'm by myself, in my prayer life. I want to preach like Jesus. I want to pray like Jesus. I want to live like Him. I want to use money like Jesus used money. I want my attitude to everything. I want to treat my enemies like Jesus treated His enemies, because I've seen my destination. A lot of exciting things along this way and along the journey, but I don't want to get sidetracked. I don't want to jump off at some station which is not the final goal. A lot of things along this way. You know, and you can get excited with something which is good, but which is not the ultimate goal. For example, take something very good like evangelism. Can you think of anything better than that? Reaching lost people with the gospel. Such a good thing. And I'll tell you what I have seen through 44 years of being a Christian. A lot of people have made evangelism their goal. And they're not Christ-like. They're reaching people, and they're behaving in such an un-Christ-like way that people are being turned off. They say your life speaks louder than your words, and the name of Jesus is dishonored. But they have a tremendous passion for evangelism, to give out tracts, to reach people. They don't realize that the way they live, their family life, the way they behave at home, and the way they conduct themselves, their attitude to money, and so many things are canceling out the message they preach. So you see the danger of even being involved in evangelism if you don't make your goal becoming like Christ. It's like a station, and you get excited with evangelism and get off at that station. Well, I don't want to get off at that station. And you come to another station where you find somebody laying hands on people, everybody's falling down on the platform, and I say, boy, this is an exciting station to get off at, to see everybody falling off like that. And the train moves off and you're still falling down and getting up on the platform. The people who want to do that can do that, but I've got a destination to reach. I want to tell you that. And I don't want to get sidetracked to all these exciting things that I see on various platforms along the way, because I see that God determined a destination for me. And everything I do must be in the light of that goal. Must I do evangelism? Definitely, like Jesus did it. Not any other way. Must I be filled with the Holy Spirit? Of course, like Jesus was. All the things in relation to in Scripture to me are like, you know, a jigsaw puzzle. Supposing you're trying to make a jigsaw puzzle with 200 pieces, and each of those pieces, I mean, it doesn't have any picture or meaning to it, but when you put it all together, if you can see the face of Jesus, you got it right. So to me, evangelism, gifts of the Holy Spirit are all little pieces in this big puzzle. You know, serving others, worship, praise, everything. Even worship and praise was such a good thing. I know people who are so taken up with it that they don't think that that's a spirit that must continue all through their life. They praise the Lord on Sunday morning and then go home and yell at their wives Sunday afternoon. I say, that's not Christianity. That's a piece of the jigsaw puzzle that you take out all by itself and concentrate on that on Sunday morning. I don't want to concentrate on that. I want to put that piece of the jigsaw puzzle called praise and worship into that face of Jesus and find its proper place there. That's what I mean. I believe in praise and worship. I believe in serving the Lord. But I say the whole jigsaw puzzle is the face of Jesus. And if I don't see the total picture, I can get taken up with one favorite piece of my jigsaw puzzle. And different people have got different favorite pieces. And each thinks we've got the most important thing because that's the thing they like. Majoring on minors. And when God Himself has made a destination for me, that picture on the jigsaw puzzle must be reproduced in my character, I say, Lord, that's what I want. Everything in life must fit into this overall goal, like a little piece of the puzzle, to make me like Christ. And it says here in the previous verse, verse 28, that God will help me in this, because He's going to cause everything that ever happens to me to work together for this good purpose. Those who are called according to His purpose means this is the purpose described in the next verse. So God is going to make everything around me over which I have no control to work in an amazing way to bring me to this goal, this destination of becoming like Christ. He's going to arrange difficult people across my path to teach me humility and patience. He's going to put me along with irritable, annoying people, neighbors and co-workers, because I have to become like Christ. I have to learn patience and I have to learn long-suffering. He's going to put me through difficult financial circumstances so that I learn to be frugal like Jesus was. He's going to make the meal that's cooked in your home one day not so tasty, so that He can deliver you from the love of food and gluttony and make you like Jesus, who was not a lover of food, who used food for health but didn't worship it like a lot of people do. See, God is sovereign. And I'm excited when I think that Almighty God, who runs this universe, can look down on this small speck of dust called planet Earth, and on that speck of dust find an even smaller, minute speck of dust called me, and take so much interest in me to plan everything so that I can become like Jesus. Isn't that exciting? And when you see it, I say, Father, man, how you love me. I mean, you don't put me in a class with 50 students and teach me. You give me personal private tuition. Each one of us, the Holy Spirit gives you personal private tuition. And that's why your experiences are different from the experiences of other believers around you, because you're not in the same class. He doesn't put 50 people in the same class and give them all the same homework. No. That's in worldly schools. In God's school, every student has got private tuition. Only God can do that. And I'm thankful that I'm getting private tuition. That's why I don't compare my lot with yours, and you shouldn't compare your lot with mine. No, because I'm in private tuition. And I have certain weak subjects, so He gives me extra tuition in those things. And you've got certain weak subjects, and He'll give you some extra tuition in those subjects. I mean, if your weakness is physics and mine is math, why should God give me extra tuition in physics? He's got to give you extra tuition in physics. He's got to give me extra tuition in mathematics or English or something like that, where I'm weak. That's where I need to not ever compare myself or my lot with anybody else's in the whole world. That's why I'm not jealous of anyone. That's why I'm not in competition with anyone. I'm having private tuition. See the folly of believers who wonder why God's dealing with me like this and why other people are having an easy time. It's because He loves you, brother, sister. He wants to make you like Jesus.